Hello, we are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yes,
oh,
it is.
Yes, let's do this thing. I'm so pumped. I can't even. Yeah.
Episode number 74. This is going to be The Last Jedi, Star Wars The Last Jedi one shot.
Yes, we must talk about
teaser one trailer. So it just dropped yesterday. April 14th.
Kira and I watched it live.
At the Star Wars celebration that they're having.
It live on YouTube.
Yep.
It was awesome.
It was a YouTube. It was streaming the panel, the Last Jedi panel.
Yes.
All right.
That's pretty cool.
Before we go any further, Christopher, can you talk a little bit about the panel?
Yes.
Like, who was on it? What did they say? Were they purpose? I mean, of course, they were elusive to all the questions that got asked.
Daisy Ridley, Boyega, Mark Hamill, and the new a new character, which, damn it.
His name is Damn It?
No.
Damn it.
That's a strange Star Wars name.
It is. Well, I mean, they do strange names, dude. That's
true.
Point.
It's true. Is it Damo Ren? Damn It,
Damo
Ren.
he was not in attendance.
Oh, okay. He's probably off working on something. That guy's busy as hell.
Yeah. It was the panel. I saw the panel was moderated by Josh Gad.
Yes, and he is by turns annoying and funny.
Okay. Sometimes his jokes land and sometimes they don't.
Correct.
Yeah.
And
Was Ryan Johnson on the?
Oh, yes. He was also on the panel.
The director.
The director.
And the producer, the head of...
Kathleen Kennedy.
Yes, you're exactly right. And damn it, I can't... I'll find it. But
okay.
I'm
a new character, an Asian woman, right?
New Asian woman, and I'm an idiot for not remembering her name, and I'm a terrible human for not... here we go. Bingo. Got it. The character's name is Rose, and she is played by Kelly Marie Tran.
Okay.
She is in the Resistance, and she is described as someone who works in maintenance as part of the Resistance. And it appears as if she has a very interesting and big role.
Some kind of key role.
Unlikely.
Bring her out
in the theme of unlikely heroes in Star Wars saga. So
unlikely
heroes. And she was.
If they're bringing her out for the panel, then she must play a key role in the movie.
And she was terrific. Very hit all the right notes in terms of enthusiasm and appreciation, and really excited. You could tell my life will never be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thing.
Cool.
She kept the role secret from her family for 4 months of
wow.
And then she was able to reveal. Itself was really good.
John Boyega said something similar on the Graham Norton show where he got hired and he couldn't tell anybody until it was over.
Yeah,
like
right.
The first thing he did was call his dad and tell him that he's in the new Star Wars movie. And
that's
he's
so cool.
And he'd already been filming it, you know, so
yeah,
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, the panel was, you know, we've been to so many of those that it was your standard sort of, you know, stars come out and they don't tell us, they can't tell us much.
Mm. Yeah,
but it's fan service kind of a scene where they're just very thankful to be in the position they're in.
Totally.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So I went ahead and went shot by shot and wrote down every single shot in the trailer. And I think we're going to go through my list. Cause it's not that long. I mean,
the trailer's 2 minutes. It doesn't.
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
So, the first shot was Rey out of breath, falling to the ground, on some cliff. And she seems to be distressed. It's a very short shot.
So I watched it again this morning, and it was kind of my initial impression, but it also was reinforced when I watched it this morning. It has the look of a exhausting, I just saw a disturbing vision training moment.
Yes, I had the same, because if you look, actually look over her shoulder, you can see what looks like to me like a crag in the face of the rock.
That she's on that island. She just emerges from a cave.
She should, like Luke, she might be going through some kind of force, you know, vision thing that he had, like in the swamp with his father and fighting him.
Like he goes down into the cave on Dagobah.
Right, so it has that kind of feel, like she saw something she didn't like in that cave, maybe. The next two shots are pretty boring. It's the ocean with the island really far away, and then the next shot is flying over that island looking down.
Straight down. Which is
beautiful shots. The looking down shot were reminiscent to me of shots in Rogue One.
Totally.
When we see shots of ships and things like that from a 90 degree angle above them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that kind of, that jumped out at me a little bit.
It's a style choice. It looked really cool. Yeah. The islands look really cool. I have no idea where they filmed them, but they're beautiful.
It's an island in Ireland. It's off the coast of Ireland.
The next shot is Rey standing on a cliff. We're behind her, and there's waves crashing on the rocks. And
it's lots of dark blues and blacks in that shot.
In fact, I updated our Twitter page to be that shot.
Oh, cool.
That's awesome.
That's now our current cover of our Twitter feed.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
The next shot is Rey's hand touching the ground as rocks kind of rise up around her. It could be a continuation of the scene where she falls to the ground. It kind of looks like that.
I'm going to call this, honestly, it's a Man of Steel shot.
It's a little bit of Man of Steel, right.
I felt that it was immediately, because, I mean, there's a very cool shot in Man of Steel where he's learning how to fly for the first time, and you see how he affects the gravity around him.
Mm-hmm.
That's immediately what it looks like. Rey is connecting, and you see little pebbles floating. It's great.
Yeah, I think it's more training montage. But I also think that this is a theory of mine that I wanted to raise with you all. It is, I think, a suggestion, because the Luke with Yoda training, he was stacking individual rocks into a tower.
Ah. Yeah.
And my reaction, again, along the theory of this is a training montage, was that she's controlling 100 little pieces of tiny rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or
at least affecting 100 tiny little pieces of rock.
Well, she seems to be lifting them.
Right.
Yeah.
And my question then is what it raised in my mind is that an indicator that she's got more control? She's got more refined ability?
Mm.
I think we can argue that she has more innate force ability than Luke may have had at that stage.
The first thing that Luke did with the force really was guide a torpedo in to blow up the Death Star. So I feel like that takes a lot of control and precision.
I agree.
So, yeah. I mean, you haven't seen her move a lot of things besides, like, suck the lightsaber to her hand.
Which was more about her connection to that lightsaber, I think, than her ability with the Force.
Right.
I think that idea in particular, the lightsaber jumping to her, was about her connection to that lightsaber.
Totally.
And how that indicates her connection to the Force in general, but it was really about her and the lightsaber, interaction throughout the whole first movie.
Totally.
Yeah.
The next shot is someone from behind. We can't see their face. It kind of looks like Leia. My best guess is it's Leia. It looks like something she would wear. Her hair is done up. And she's looking at some holographic map. And it's a galaxy level map. Yeah, well, she's looking for something, or she's like watching ships coming at her.
Is there an audio cue there?
Is an audio cue. What also corresponds with
I think there's something that's said before that,
Luke,
right?
It's Luke says
Luke seems to be saying to Rey, because we hear Luke's voice, saying to Rey to breathe.
Mm.
And then he tells her to breathe again. And then
there's
he tells
the,
her to
the word
reach
light.
Out.
I see. She says something about seeing the light, and that's when that shot comes up, right?
Right. Yeah,
exactly. That corresponds yep. with her saying, "I see the light," and then the shot changes to.
It's broken glass, something smashed in the middle. It's all crumpled up. It's hard to tell what it is. Our best guess is like Kylo Ren's helmet.
It's suggestive yep. of the Kylo Ren mask.
The music. Yep. The music. Is the Kylo Ren like First Order theme?
There you go.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's
yeah.
a cue.
Yeah. yeah that cool. so it makes us feel like it's connected to Kylo Ren or yes. the whatever it is. It looks like his mask, but it's very crunched up, so we have no idea.
Yeah.
Like,
no, it's completely destroyed.
Yeah. So I have no yeah. idea. Like, it's that one was like kind of puzzling to me. I texted you guys about that one because I had no idea what the fuck that was.
My bad, yeah,
does he say the dark when he sees that?
Yeah. Yeah,
she, when that shot comes up, does, it say, does she say the darkness?
Yeah,
or?
Mm-hmm. She does.
Yeah,
and then there's like one quick shot of a strange like cave with light beaming down on this one part of the cave. It could be the interior of that scene from her being distressed. It looks like it could be, and. It's just a quick shot, but the next one is a close-up on a Jedi book.
Looks like yeah. a book, yeah.
And it has a Jedi symbol on it, and someone
has a gloved yeah, hand.
Gloved hand is
it.
Right, exactly. Yep. So maybe she saw something in the book, maybe...
And the voiceover at that point is something about the balance?
Mm-hmm. The balance. She sees the balance.
Mm-hmm.
She says to Luke, "I see balance."
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Do we so think that's inside the inside the temple?
It's got to be. I feel like it's at the island. It's yeah. If feel like because this is an old Jedi temple that Luke has gone to, like one of the first, I guess, or the yeah. first.
It would make sense that there would be that level of low tech book.
Yeah,
mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
was Han Solo's theory from the first one, is that Luke was searching for the first Jedi temple, like he was trying to go right. back to where the Jedi began.
So yeah, we're assuming
and
that's what
he
found.
He is.
Right.
Yes,
right.
He found that there.
And then there's a hillside, another like island shot. But if you look closely, you can see that there's two figures standing on the hillside, and one of them is wielding a blue lightsaber. We assume Rey
is practicing
and
up
as
the hillside,
a lightsaber
trainer. Appears to be Luke.
Yeah,
standing.
It's
down
a, that's
under.
A safe exactly. assumption that's totally. What those two are. So it looks awesome. Music is awesome in that part
yep.
too.
Yep.
Let's see what. Okay, and then this part is pretty weird. There's a ship that kind of, like, comes into the shot, and it, like, crashes a little bit on this...
It bounces off the surface
right.
of the planet.
It's, like, struggling to stay up, but it yeah. does. And then it cuts out, and there's a bunch of those ships, and they're all, like, emitting some red smoke behind
them.
Stirring
it up from the yeah. surface.
They're stirring up the surface of the planet. It's like a squadron of these
right.
similar-looking speeders yep. or
it's
fighters.
It's this flat, it's this like salt flats, like desert-looking.
Yes, that's exactly what I
underneath.
Thought of, too.
Yeah, with yeah. red underneath, or they're emitting some like poisonous gas or something. I don't know what that is. Let's see. What is the next one? Who started?
Well, don't. I want to talk about that shot for a little bit, because
okay.
then it moves to a shot of...
Is there
behind
voiceover
that,
on that shot?
What's that?
No, it's just
is
music.
Is there any voiceover on that desert shot?
I don't think so.
No,
yeah.
just music. The squadron of these ships are flying away from us, essentially, and in the deep background of that shot is another like group of AT-ATs.
Oh.
Adats. Yeah, they're
deeply,
adats. They're flying
deep in the background.
Adats.
So
yeah,
this could possibly be a First Order attacking the Resistance.
Something.
Some kind of battle.
Some kind
of
a conflict of
the battle.
On another desert
yeah.
mm-hmm. or dry planet.
Totally.
Yep.
I love it.
Yep.
Okay. The next shot is Finn asleep. He's in some kind of medical pod.
Yep.
We still don't know. He's alive, obviously, but, like, is he in some kind of coma? Is he, like, really messed up? Is this the beginning of his story, and then he wakes up? Or is he out for the whole, like, movie?
That's the only part we see of Finn in the whole trailer.
Yep.
Yep.
I was, I don't know about you, but I was sort of taken aback by the whatever device he was in. That looked like the most like advanced tech I've seen in a Star Wars movie in a while.
Right.
It looked
I agree.
Ultra advanced.
It did.
It just gave me that impression like it was a very refined device,
yeah,
which most of the things that they're dealing with are distressed or a little grimy or, you know, it, they don't have that really ultra high tech appearance, but that thing,
you know,
looked like
honestly
that.
Think this just came to me. Think about what and it obviously doesn't mean anything like they're going to clone him, but in when Obi-Wan goes in Attack of the Clones, when he goes to Kamino,
yeah,
it has that kind of refined technology,
yeah,
look. The Kaminoans,
right,
had tech that looked like that. Some kind of like the ultra, I mean, think of quote unquote
clean,
like space age, clean
ultra,
edges,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
blues and whites. Definitely that had that feel to it. So it's like
it definitely
a high,
looked something that was not necessarily resistance.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that's kind of an interesting inference.
Yeah.
Like,
think about
found by somebody else, or they brought him to
they
some
take
other
him somewhere.
Right.
Yeah,
they take him somewhere because he's obviously very injured.
Maybe it could be. This is 100% speculation and me thinking off the top of my head or talking off the. It could be a pathway for him to receive upgrades.
Possible.
Okay.
You're right.
Because he's badly injured.
Very badly
and
injured.
He is surrounded by what appears to be ultra advanced tech, and maybe he receives upgrades as a result.
Okay.
Yeah.
The next shot is BB-8 and Poe running down a hallway. They look like to be there in some kind of battle or
straight up hero charge. It looks
hero charge running at the camera.
Yep.
The both of them running. The next shot is an explosion happening in the hangar just as Poe and BB-8 are getting to their ship. And if
running
you watch,
for his X-Wing.
Right, and his X-Wing is being caught up in the explosion.
Yeah,
so
it is. It appears the beginnings of it being consumed by the explosion.
His awesome black X-Wing appears to get destroyed.
Yep. Torched. Yeah.
Which sucks.
Such a bummer.
Yeah, no, that ship was awesome from the
first one. Well, that just translates into I got to find it somewhere and put it on my desk, because if it's gone, it's gone, and so
exactly.
I got to have a certain era.
The next shot is a ship exploding.
Damn Disney making me buy shit.
Damn Disney.
I know, right?
The next shot is a ship flying and explodes, and the Millennium Falcon flies into the shot being pursued by two TIE fighters.
Yep.
Very awesome, but it's very quick. Just
Anything you picked up from the look of the Millennium Falcon? Nothing leaps to mind.
No, look normal.
It was a battle that appears to be happening inside an atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
My guess was that it looks to be Luke's planet where we arrive at the end of The Force Awakens.
Yeah,
I felt.
Here's my question is, Chewbacca went with Rey to that island with R2-D2.
Chewbacca and R2-D2, yeah.
Right. Do they stay there with Rey as she's being trained, or do they leave to go back to the Resistance and leave her? I don't know about that. That's a question we don't
Well,
know.
It's... I mean, I think it's pretty safe to suggest that the First Order will track them to that location.
Mm-hmm.
That's the feeling that I was getting to.
Okay.
I strongly suspect that will be a story beat, is that they will have some time to do some training, and then the First Order will show up. And that precipitates the fight in the skies above the island, and then
them having to run away,
and
then
having
Falcon.
To leave.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what I suspect.
The next shot is a quick one too. It's Rey running, looking distressed. It's at night, and the only light that we see is the color of the blue lightsaber that she's carrying as she runs.
She's running with the lightsaber activated.
Mm-hmm. And then the next shot is Kylo pointing the red lightsaber, his red lightsaber, at us. Also very quick. His face is
healed.
Yeah.
He has
yep.
a scar,
mm-hmm.
but his face yep. is time has passed. His face is definitely healed.
Mm-hmm. The next shot is like we can infer a lot from. We see a burning building, and we see Luke kneeling next to R2 as the building is burning, and there's wreckage everywhere.
We don't see his face,
right? But it's R2, and he's hooded, so it's yeah. probably Luke. I'm assuming this was the beginnings of the new Jedi Temple, so we're going to see what happened with Kylo and him and the Jedis he was training.
It struck me as a Jedi genocide flashback.
And then there's this very quick shot that is hard to tell what's going on. It's fire, and you see stormtroopers or Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren like stepping through. It's very quick, so it's hard to tell who it is, but it's
hard to tell who that is.
Yeah,
it's clearly destruction.
I've watched the trailer right. multiple times. That shot to me, honestly, upon multiple views, looks like Captain Phasma.
Oh yeah, it could be.
Like
it's a shiny armor. Yeah,
yeah. Like she participated and stormtroopers participated in the Jedi genocide.
Interesting.
Maybe.
That's
I mean, she appears to be Kylo Ren's like personal.
Mm-hmm.
Stormtrooper officer, you know, she's constantly around him. She leads all the stormtroopers on his personal ship. So my guess, it looked like Captain Phasma to me. And as that shot comes immediately after we see Luke dropping to the ground to his knees in the burning building in the background.
Mm-hmm.
She participated and stormtroopers participated. The First Order participated in the Jedi genocide. It might not have been just Kylo and the Knights of Ren.
Totally, totally. Or, so. Like, he helped them, you know. He,
exactly.
Like, he guided them to there. The next shot is a space battle in orbit of a green-looking planet, and we see the Resistance ships with X-Wings. And then the next shot is X-Wings and TIE Fighters in a dogfight in that same battle. So
yeah.
those two. So, you know, there's some kind of... space battle. Hey, it's Star Wars.
Gotta have it.
Gotta have space battles. Gotta have X-Wings.
And then...
And they're getting, you know, frankly, I am so psyched about that because they are getting much... They just continue to iterate and get better at those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The space battles, we just watched Rogue One again recently, and that space battle in Rogue One near the end of the movie is the best one of the entire series.
Oh, yeah. That space battle is amazing. Oh,
and,
my gosh.
And they are just getting so good at the choreography of that where it's not like you're totally overwhelmed. It is there's a purpose for every shot, but it's really exciting
yep.
and well done and interesting. And so I'm really excited about that sort of how they are improving on
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
moment of Star Wars. I'm excited about it because that shot looked
I agree
awesome.
Completely. No, it does look great.
The next shot, Luke stands in the doorway. He speaks about the Jedi needing to end. And that's
yep.
sort of like the last shot before the Last Jedi
yeah.
symbol.
Which is the big moment of that trailer that's
yep.
causing all of the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
And we gotta brag because we posed in an episode that we recorded a few months ago
mm-hmm.
when the title was announced.
Yeah,
we speculated for about
yeah.
20 minutes about what the title could possibly mean, and we went off about how The Last Jedi could actually mean that Luke is the Last Jedi and Rey will become something different, something more than just a Jedi.
So that's one way to take it. I also have an idea of maybe she shows up asking to be trained, and Luke at first is not wanting to train her at all, and
possible.
So it could be that he's saying to her like, "Go away, you know the Jedi I need to stop this, you know," and so it could be what we were saying. It also could be that.
There's so much to
right.
infer from everything
but
that happened.
I think it goes more than that, Patrick. I think it's much more of a monumental shift
mm-hmm.
in thinking
yeah.
because of the title.
Right.
I think if the title wasn't The Last Jedi, then your theory is exactly right, because that's Luke's eyes are opened. He is bitter about and blames himself for the wipeout of all of his students. He mm-hmm. is retreated to...
And also what Kylo Ren, what Ben Solo turned into. I'm right. sure there's guilt associated with that.
So there's a lot of right. guilt. And so yep.
well,
that
he
reaction...
trained him, we're assuming, you know, at least partially, and then...
Yep.
You know, nope. and then he turns Whatever. Into this evil person, and right. it kind
the
of it's kind of
father.
It's interesting too that like, you know, Obi-Wan talked about training Anakin kind of the same, you know, like, and then him turning bad and living with that guilt, and now Luke is going to be living with the guilt of training Kylo
yeah.
and him turning.
Here's my refined theory based upon okay. the teaser and based upon sort of what I've read. I think, and based upon the comments from Daisy Ridley about what she has said, that Luke is not what Rey expects him to be.
Mm-hmm.
I strongly believe that what Luke has found the original temple, and he has realized that what the Jedi Order was at the beginning in terms of focus on balance, and maybe there was light and dark at the very beginning, they were a combination of it, and that what they evolved into became this, it became, for lack of a better synonym, it became the Catholic Church or an institution, and became a political entity, and became part of a governmental sort of an order kind of a thing. And what dawns on Luke is that it's much more of a Buddhist sort of, it's not a, it evolved into a power center. And he has seen that it's much more about, I think, light and dark and the balance between the two, and that the Jedi can't just be about the light, that the universe is about both.
Yeah. More complicated than they were making
much
it.
Much more complicated than they've made it to be, and because
yeah.
it was co-opted by government and forces, the institutionalization of the Jedi Order,
yeah.
that I think what he sort of, he became, and he's rebelled against that because it's clearly not working. He tries to do another academy, and they all die, and who he tries to train becomes evil, or becomes seduced by the dark. I really strongly believe, and because Daisy has said that Luke isn't what Rey expects, I strongly believe that he has the light bulb has turned on for him, and that he realizes that we've been down the wrong path. And how cool would that evolution be, in terms of him being a, there's a new way to do this. And it
yes.
can't be just a rejection of the dark.
Right.
That yep. there's got to be a way, and this is how they originally started it. Look at what the documents reveal. Look at what this book reveals. It's a yin and yang thing for real.
Yep.
And these original Jedi used both light and dark in their sort of training, in their religion.
I don't know the term.
That would be so interesting if they went that route.
I agree, and I don't know if it just exists in the fandom or whether or not it exists in kind of the literature that's around, like the books or whatever that surround the new Star Wars universe, the Disney Star Wars universe, called Gray Jedi, where they, it's not just the light and the dark, they understand the Force is somewhere in the middle, and that's what they, I don't know exactly, but the term Gray Jedi exists kind of like in the Star Wars universe and surrounds it.
I've never heard that.
So what, oh, yeah, no. So whether or not...
Is that old canon or new canon?
I'm not sure. That's the thing. Yeah. I just know that the term exists because the old canon and the new canon, everything gets mixed up. I mean, Thrawn was in the old canon. Now they brought him into the new canon. He is a character on Rebels, which is part of the Disney Star Wars universe. Which,
Are we... There's speculation that Snoke is actually Thrawn, that has been injured from the rebels, his encounter with the rebels.
I don't know if that's a deep reach in my opinion. I don't know enough about that theory to speak about it intelligently, to be honest.
Okay.
Thrawn was a military genius. He's a strategist that, you know, led the Emperor's armies turning him into some kind of force wielder. I don't think that makes a lot of sense.
Force master, which he appears to be with Kylo Ren.
Exactly.
As an overarching sort of reaction, it has all that I'm excited about. Ryan Johnson.
Yeah.
Ryan Johnson.
He was great.
Ryan with
nine. I love Looper. I'm really excited about his aesthetic and his approach. And I think he's such a fan that, and the trailer and the way it looks, and there's complexity to, I think, the interaction between Rey and Luke, and where Luke is and where he's at, that I'm really, really, it just feeds the fire for how awesome this movie could be.
Yeah, so. I'm excited about it. And J.J. Abrams has said that from the script that he's read, you know, help write, that he wished he would have directed this one.
Yeah. So, he regrets not directing the second movie.
So that makes me excited for it. Like, there's something really awesome about it. Yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, there's some kind of new force wielding thing that Rey becomes. I hope they go in that direction just to take the story in a new place. Not that Jedi are bad or anything, but it's sort of like, this is a new set of movies.
I think it's got to evolve.
Totally.
It's got to
That would make it that much more of an interesting story of how the characters are learning as they go and they're figuring new things out. It's not just the light and the dark exist and it's constantly at odds with each other. We got to fight the evil. If it's more complicated and deeper than that, that's only a good thing in my opinion.
And there's people on the internet who have argued for years that Jedi are kind of douchey anyways. Like, They kind of instill their own morals on people and they lie and cheat. Like, Qui-Gon Jinn, like, tries to force, you know, Watto to sell him the part for money that he doesn't want. You know, he tries to, he cheats at dice to win they use their powers, you know, to their own ends, and sometimes it's morally ambiguous.
The other thing I would say about all of that is that one of the comments that Lucas said at Star Wars Celebration to remind everyone, and then the critic and the lash out at the critics, is that the Star Wars, Star Wars is designed for 12-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that's not sustainable.
Nope.
And no. That's, when you...
Uh-oh.
That has grown up.
So, thinking...
Hold on one second, guys. You guys are cutting in and out. Give it a second.
Hello?
You guys hear me okay? Yeah. I don't hear Chris.
Hello.
Okay, you guys are kind of crunchy. Big old internet spike. Last thoughts.
You there?
Okay. You still sound pretty crappy. We're having some internet.
I can't hear Andrew.
Yeah,
I'm not talking.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't talking. That's why you couldn't hear me.
Okay, you guys sound better now.
Okay, where do we cut off?
Somewhere around Lucas for 12-year-olds.
Let me finish my complexity thought.
Yeah.
What I'm happy about in the way that these new movies are going is that it's a recognition that the universe has to be a little bit more complex, that it can't be targeted at 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
And I think Rian Johnson, as a choice of a director, leads us down that path, that things are more complex, and that's why it gives me hope that this movie is going to be a real examination of things are not black and white. And that I think that can only improve the Star Wars universe.
Here's my only argument with George Lucas, and I have a lot to argue with George Lucas, but you can't say that anymore, because it might have been for 12-year-olds when the first one came out, but those 12-year-olds are now 40 or 50-year-olds, you know?
Yeah.
And they are fans of this movie, and so you gotta you can't betray your 50-year-old fans by making a 12-year-old kids movie. You know, they want a good Star Wars movie. They are the ones who've been fans since the 70s. So you have to play to them, not
me.
I'm
it.
Exactly.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with Patrick's sentiment 100%, and Chris is getting there too. That there's a fandom that's grown up with Star Wars, and now we're adults, and we still love Star Wars, and we want it to be a Star Wars story that stimulates, you know, not just, oh, it's an exciting sci-fi movie with, you know, knights with laser swords and all that shit and people who can throw rocks at their brains. We need a movie that has complexity and depth where the characters learn and evolve and change and all that.
And here's the thing is that I think comments like that from Lucas sell 12-year-olds short. My daughter, the 11-year-old, she understands all of this. She totally gets it. She gets the it's not just a shoot 'em up sort of afternoon matinee adventure story. She understands the issues that are going. And we were talking about that yesterday while we were watching it. So I think there's a way to approach it that is entertaining, appealing, kick-ass adventure, awesome fights, and also deal with some really interesting, complex stuff.
And Rian Johnson's, I think, going there.
Yeah.
I think J.J. Abrams started that whole track, and I think that Rian Johnson's definitely going there.
Curious, what is your 11-year-old think of the prequels, the episode 1, 2, 3?
We hardly ever watch them in our household.
Mm-hmm.
I think she enjoys them for the visuals, and I don't think she's been too colored or jaded by my commentary toward them.
I think she
loves Star Wars, and she likes the adventure of she likes the adventure of the first three the arc of Anakin to Darth Vader, and that, you know, on a simplified way, those three, I think that they're ham-handed and dumb.
And also, you know, Ewan McGregor is just super fun to watch in anything he does.
Yeah, I think the writing, like the visuals of the prequels are very good, but the writing and the acting are just god awful. Anyway, so we're excited about The Last Jedi. It comes out in December. Anything else you guys got?
I am on the how many days until StarWars.com right now, and 243 days.
243.
Until...
Here we go.
Yep.
We should put that counter on our website.
Yeah.
we should. I'll look for that.
I'll try to do that. Thank you for listening.
We'll post a link to the YouTube trailer so you guys can go watch the trailer multiple times like we all have.
Yep.
And I encourage people, what's the episode where we have our extensive discussion?
I shared it, but I'm blanking on the
number.
Right, hold on. Let me look it up. I shared it on Twitter.
Yeah,
on Twitter,
I saw you shared it, but I can't remember
day.
The number.
Let's see. It's episode number 71, and it's the beginning of that episode, and it's the title is The Ghost in the Podcast. We talked about the original Ghost
of
the Shell.
I would definitely encourage people to go back and take a listen to that episode, because we really have a good discussion about what we think and all of that. And we really, I think we were right there with some of the themes that have emerged from the
series. Totally.
So,
I think we are. Hello?
Hello? Oh.
Hi.
Okay.
Yeah.
I lost you guys for a second. Okay. Okay, so we're back. Just to finish up, we're super excited, and if you have any thoughts, you should email us at brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com or Twitter, brothers_geek.
Tweet at us.
Tweet at us your thoughts, and thanks for listening.
Yep.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.